it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to this EA FC 24 hands-on gameplay special. Delighted to have joining me to assist on this one, although he hasn't played the game. He's been across all of it. It's Josh XLS, or should I say Josh XLS? Although someone did point out that makes it easier to find you on Twitter, etc., right?
Yeah, I mean, if I get a double header for just one name, that's even better, right? You know, read it out twice. It's gonna be nice to get some first-hand experience from you guys.
Yeah, that'll be the focus of this episode. More of a summary and comment on actually playing the game, but there are full pitch notes out. They've just come out at time of recording. So some may want to go and check that out, but also we'll be doing a read-through on the podcast. And this time, actually, I think Hubert's going to come along and give some comments as we go, which will be interesting. And it'll probably come this week, even though there'll be three episodes this week, but I'm actually away next week, so it makes a lot of sense. And it may well be a supporter episode too, actually, because we've had two main viewed episodes this week, but wanted to get this information out there. Anyway, let's introduce our final guest, who is pro player Tom Lees. Great to have you back on the pod, Tom.
Cheers, Ben. Yeah, I mean, we got to play the game last week a little bit, didn't we? In Amsterdam. You even helped me out with a few new features and stuff as well as I was playing. I mean, I didn't get too much time in the game because I actually got onto the stage and then they told me that Ronaldinho wanted to play on my booth, so I had to move, but did get a few games before he come on.
Yeah. I was going to say, couldn't you have done sort of winner stays on or something?
I was hoping, but I tried to fight my case to stay on, but I said, you know what? I'll let Ronaldinho have it if he wants to play for now.
Just gone, who? Who is it that wants to come on? Sorry, I don't know who you're talking about.
Ronaldinho was actually right. He scored first against DJ Mario, and DJ Mario is a very experienced FIFA player, being a big streamer, and not as good as Haaland, actually, who scored 7 goals all with himself, which was impressive. Yeah. Was offside trapping as well, wasn't he?
Haaland looked like an experienced FIFA player from what we saw. Yeah, and he knew what he was doing. He kept just passing to himself as well.
Yeah. Well, let's get into talking about EA FC 24 properly then. And the first thing to ask you, Tom, is what did you think the biggest change was when you got hands-on with the game?
I think the main one I'd go for is the play styles that they introduced, because that's something that we checked out straight away when I went on to team management. Certain players basically have play styles that affect their performance in-game. I mean, I guess you could say it would be similar to a chem style, where once it's applied, a certain stat or attribute gets better, right? From my understanding.
Yeah.
And there's a load of different ones that mean they can do different things, right? Like one of them was the trickster one, which obviously gives them unique flicks, tricks, skills, that kind of thing. I think I noticed that very quickly with the players I was using, that if they did have that on them, you could definitely feel like an improvement in what it was meant to do.
Yeah.
I'd say play styles are the main thing.
Yeah. And I should say again, just to be absolutely sure about this, play styles don't replace chem styles. Chemistry styles are still in the game, and these are more a replacement for traits, basically. They're more powerful traits. And
yeah.
I mean, some of them are traits like finesse or power header, and they seem to have made them things which don't so much impact stats, or that's the idea. I mean, some of them do, but the likes of power shot, it increases the shot power a bit when you're taking on a power shot for players with it, but it also means you can take that power shot quicker, which is the key advantage there. So I think it's good to see this because it spices things up a bit.
Yeah.
And I won't go through all the play styles now. We'll do that in the gameplay pitch note read through. But for now, Josh, did you have any questions on this particularly?
I mean, I suppose just from kind of like having had time to reflect on it now, and obviously hearing you two both saying it's one of the most important things that you found while playing it, it strikes me as kind of like we've been led into this year, because I feel like traits have been more important this year than ever before. The outside the foot shot trait and the finesse shot trait, they seem to have been something that's got more and more important as years have gone on. I don't know if you remember was it Politano striker card for winter wild cards? I had like 15 traits. Mm-hmm. I suppose my question would be is, from the time you were playing it, did it seem as overpowered as something like the outside the foot shot trait that allows you to just kind of loop one in from 35 yards and the keeper can't do anything? Was there anything kind of similar to that? I know it's an early build, but that would be kind of my worry, I suppose, when it comes to something that's this big and new.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, as exciting as it is definitely the biggest balancing concern I think I've had for a new game.
Yeah.
Like, these could be crazy. And I think Mbappe was a notable one, right?
Yeah, I saw something. There was they mentioned it in the, as they were discussing it, I think it was Sam Kerr taking a finesse shot. And then we saw Haaland take a power shot. I remember it being a concern from a lot of people that heard it, saying that how are we going to be able to balance these? Because they are, from my understanding, from what I played, I managed to play two or three games in a quick space of time. But I definitely think that you can feel them, and I think they will play a big part. And I'm 90% sure they're only available to certain players as well for certain things, right? So you really will feel the difference between certain players. But yeah, overall, I have the same concern as you two that I could see this being very overpowered, especially at the start of the game.
Yeah, you're right to mention the start of the game, because I think once all the players have strong stats, the difference this makes is probably going to be nice and something that people look for to differentiate, but it's not going to be as crazy strong. But I mean, Mbappe, he's quick enough anyway, but he has something which makes him even quicker somehow, if that's even possible.
Oh, no.
Which is the playstyle quick step, which accelerates a player faster during explosive sprint. An explosive sprint is kind of a not very well-known mechanic, and maybe this will make it more well-known, but basically if you're running in a straight line, you go faster. That's the bottom line of it. And so if you have him running in a straight line, he goes even faster with this. And it felt super strong. So I don't know. They're obviously subject to balancing, but maybe they were trying to exaggerate them so that we could see what they were like. But it was pretty noticeable. Playstyles Plus especially felt very good.
Was there a mention that those Playstyle Plus would be only for those top players, or can every playstyle be applied to every player at some point within the game cycle?
I think they weren't explicit about it, but it really feels like the content team are going to have the ability to put these playstyle pluses onto players. But because they appear on the front of the card, I feel like there'll probably only be space for like three, maybe. Obviously, it's possible that they expand that and you just can't see them. But I kind of feel like certainly for the first year, they wouldn't want to go too crazy with it. So that's my inkling, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know whether Tom, you had any other interpretation of this, but
no, mine's the same as yours. The only one I was going to comment on is I remember seeing the there was a block playstyle, was there was when I saw that I started sweating, because I thought, wow, like, hopefully the AI isn't too overpowered. But yeah, there is a wide range of them for all players as well, like for defenders, midfielders, attackers, to kind of like, I don't think it will just be attackers are really overpowered because of a playstyle and defenders won't be able to get, you know, anything in return. They're across the pitch. But yeah, as you said, the way they're applied, I had the same kind of interpretation when I saw it.
Yeah. Did you use Verratti?
No, I think I was Man City when I played.
Okay, yeah. For obvious reasons, I was PSG most of the time. And Verratti really did feel notably better at passing than like any other player. It was really impressive. And, you know, we always have this conversation at this point in the year, like, is Toni Kroos going to be usable? That's the meme on the podcast. And I mean, obviously, he's just too slow, let's be real. But Verratti felt really, really good. And if those playstyles allow someone like him to be differentiated as a truly top-tier passer, I think that's actually going to make the game much more interesting than it has been in the past. And also, the thing that he was really good at is another feature we can smoothly move on to, which is precision passing. And this is a fairly big change, I guess, in some ways, but you can now essentially manual pass at any point by holding RB or R1 and then pressing, say, you know, Y or triangle for the through ball, or you can do lobbed ones too with the X or square button. And this, I mean, it actually replaces threaded through balls as well, doesn't it? Because you can't do those anymore. And I think it is going to bring an element of skill to passing. Certainly those longer passes, the through passes that people have often exploited, you're going to have to be better at doing those in a more manual way, basically, now, Tom.
I definitely noticed there is a clear noticeable difference in when you're manually aiming them and when you just do a normal through ball. Like, you can kind of, obviously the power's a lot different and the aim is a lot different. And I think they're the kind of things that could potentially help with a skill gap similar to what they did with player locks a couple of years ago. Yeah. It seems like they add things like that in that can kind of, you know, go a long way. And I think it's something that had to happen because the way through balls are now, there are so many different through balls that you can do without really doing much. Like at the minute, what's dominating the pro scene is L1 triangle through balls, just first time. And you really don't have to do much for him to go over the top of the defender and you're in on goal. So if it can kind of stop that and reduce that and you have to actually aim them, I'm sure one, people will try their best to master it and it could still be very overpowered, but at least it is a lot more manual than what it was. And from what I played, yeah, you could definitely tell a difference when doing a manual through ball compared to just, you know, what the typical at the minute is just L1 triangle over the top and it will just go over no matter what.
Yeah. And actually, although this wasn't immediately obvious from the gameplay, I did get a little hint from one of the gameplay guys that they've made over the top through balls worse to,
yeah,
I guess, incentivize people to use the manual through balls. So I think that is a big positive. I mean, Josh, as someone who's, you know, not at the pro level, are you happy to see that? Or are you thinking like this is making the game unnecessarily hard, essentially?
To be honest, I played PES for about 3 or 4 years, from kind of FIFA 17 to FIFA 21, in that kind of period. I played way more PES than I did FIFA, and I played on full manual. And it was my favorite kind of footballing experience in a video game because it felt real. It felt like I was actually doing the things that were happening on the pitch rather than relying on the game to do it for me. And so if there is a genuine skill gap being added that is going to that rewards people for learning how to manually play the game, I hope that's the beginning of a longer push towards a more manual way of playing the game being the most effective way to play it. So that's really excited me that you can just hold a button and get a fully manual pass. That's something that I'll definitely be trying to master early on in the game.
Yeah, it is. I totally agree. Something that, in my view, makes the game a lot better. And I also, I'm not sure I've done anything more satisfying than a successful swerved precision pass that I did in gameplay, which is just so nice. I mean, I think there might be a few visuals out there now showing this, but if you hold LT when you do your precision pass, it puts, you know, outside of the foot curl or inside foot curl on the pass and just sort of slides it through gaps to your wide players. But obviously you have to aim that accurately and pick the right angle. So it feels really satisfying because you're doing it yourself, right? And you're choosing to add the swerve. And it felt like, at least in the instances I tried it, that having someone like Verratti to do that really did make a big difference to the quality of the pass. So if they can combine both manual inputs with the actual stats of players to, you know, bring together both elements and make it work, like, that is always, I think, where foot gameplay kind of shines. So hopefully it's, yeah, feels as good when we get to properly use it when the game comes. Another element, which I think is going to be big, or is certainly a big change from what we've had before, is controlled sprint. This is where you hold R1 and run, basically, or move the player forward. It's basically a more precise but slower sprint. It's not something we've seen before. I guess you could do analog sprint, couldn't you, Tom? But this definitely felt different.
Yeah, it felt different. I think it can kind of work because a lot of the time at the minute, you're either sprinting or you have to walk. Like when you go one-on-one, you can't sprint. You kind of just have to completely come to a standstill and start walking to, you know, get the angle to beat the keeper. But this is somewhere in the middle, right? This is like a happy medium where you're holding R1 and you can still move, but you're not sprinting 100%, but you're definitely not walking. So I think, yeah, definitely something that will be used, and definitely you feel like you've got more control over the dribble when you do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that thing of going through on goal, you have to walk, it allows the defender to catch up. Whereas now you can do R1, go slightly slower, but you have more control to maybe beat the keeper or change angle slightly, which is good. And then the other thing I was going to mention is this effort dribble touch, which I don't think they ever told us how to actually do it, I was thinking.
Yeah, but I thought the same as you, yeah. Yeah. I saw it when they spoke about it and then didn't know actually how to do it when we started playing.
Well, yeah, I think I actually did do it by accident, which makes sense looking at the actual controls that they've shown us in the deep dive, which is R1 and then flick the right stick. And it feels like something that is going to be pretty useful and also quite satisfying as well, realistic. And considering how annoying I think defenders can be against you jockeying, taking those touches to catch an opponent out defensively, I think is going to be really good. And I think people will enjoy it a lot. But keen to have a proper go at it now I know the controls. The other thing from a defensive angle, I mean, you know, while defending jockeying was strong, it's fair to say last cycle, particularly tackling, wasn't. And people were very frustrated about tackle backs, understandably, because they felt worse than in past cycles, actually. But they're introducing possession tackles, which seems pretty positive, Tom, potentially.
Yeah, I was watching this with a big smile on my face when I saw this.
Mm.
They show the difference animation, right? When you just tackle normally, and then there's a possession. I mean, I think every Ultimate Team player at any level struggles with, you tackle the ball and the ball goes back to your opponent. I think we all see it like every week in Foot Champs, in Rivals, in any game mode, the ball just tends to go back to your opponent. And there's nothing more frustrating than doing like two or three tackles and it keeps going back. And yeah, it seemed like with this, that with the right tacklers, I think, I'm not 100% sure, Ben, I might be wrong here, but I might have said something about the stat of the tackle or whether it was a play style or whether it's just the tackling stat. But it seemed like you needed to be a good tackler for it to work. So really, centre-backs, you'd imagine, have the most success with it, because I'd imagine they have the best tackling stats in the game.
Mm.
But when they win the ball stays, it seemed that way. From what I saw, it seems that the ball stays with the defender instead of, you know, we do see quite a lot of rebounds at the minute. So yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that that is the case when we get to play a bit more often. I didn't really get to test it too much, but we did see the, when they were talking about it on stage, we definitely saw like the difference in animation there.
Yeah, definitely. And they did say something about better defenders being able to do it, and not every defender will be able to. But obviously, at a certain point in the foot cycle, that's basically everyone. So,
yeah.
I guess that is an overall probably buff to tackling, or at least not buff to tackling, but buff to players keeping the ball after tackling, which is good. Anything, Josh, you had a question about so far before we move on to, I guess, skill moves, maybe?
My question, like, I'm happy with the tackling thing. My question around that would be, did it look natural? One of the things I always think about when it comes to like, I know we kind of, there's this debate between something that's fair within the game, if I make a good tackle, and something that's realistic, because you can make a good tackle in real life and it bounces back to the opponent.
Mm.
Did the ball physics look like normal, or did it look a bit janky to keep the ball in that respect?
I have to say, I didn't really notice this that much when I was actually playing, which suggests maybe it is quite a natural look, but the visual they showed, Tom, did look quite FIFA Street-y.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this is one instance where I'm happy for the game to be slightly less realistic just because of how frustrating it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't notice it when I was playing either, to be fair. And I'm not sure how many big tackles I would have put in like that, but I agree with the animation did look, yeah, maybe it was a bit like stuck to the foot as he tackled, but yeah, I we'll have to see how that plays out when we actually get to play it again. But I think I'm in the same boat as you two, where you say I'd probably rather that than the ball keeps going back.
Yeah, I didn't see too much bouncing back either. So fingers crossed on that one, to be honest. I was wondering, did you try any of the new skill moves actually?
Now, I'm not very good with names here, Ben, so you might need your help. But the one, what used to be the directional nutmeg, so R1, L1, and then the right stick, flicking a certain way, there was like an exit out of that, right? I tried that, which can be useful in the right situation. I feel like some of it, sometimes the animation was a little bit slow, but it was good for like a change in direction backwards. I don't recall any of the, I did see one that I didn't actually do. I think Sam Kerr might do it in the trailer, where it's like a drag back, quick drag back, and then she shot near post. I feel like I remember that, and that looked pretty clean. But the main one I did was the, I think it was like, it was actually called the nutmeg something, if I'm right.
Yeah, flare nutmegs, I think it is. Yeah.
Tell me that Vinny like rainbow flick where he kicks it into the floor is in the game though.
It is, yeah. That's the flare rainbow. Yeah. The same controls as rainbow, but you hold down one, I think. Is that right? Right stick back and then forward? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also a drag back turn, which I think people might have seen in the trailer, where they sort of shift the ball backwards and then move around. But that is a little bit slow, I think, to be that effective. And then there's like a ball roll drag as well, which I think is maybe good, but it's actually kind of interesting. I didn't feel like any of the skills I've been pretty good in past cycles at being like, that skill is going to be very effective. But Tom, I didn't really feel like that with any of these, actually.
No. I'd noticed more of the R1 dribbling earlier where as soon as I did it, I was like, okay, I can feel something there that works.
Yeah.
Same for the through balls where within half an hour of playing, like 30 minutes in game, I was like, right, I need to try another through ball because I could notice that straight away. The skill moves, I'd say that nutmeg is an interesting animation, but I have the same feeling as you where a couple of them were a little bit slow. And I feel like any skill move that's too slow to perform will just, you know, it will just not work. People will try it at the start and then realize that it becomes a little bit predictable.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, they were the main ones. I didn't actually try the others, so I can't comment on all of them.
Yeah, the right stick push in with trickster players is not effective, but super fun and a really easy way to pull off aerial skills. And so with Neymar, you could just literally just press right stick in and he would do, you know, a variety of different skills with the ball in the air. That was super fun to do. And there was a couple of other things you could do with him, including a skill which Kazooie, who was there, was calling the Aka 3000, which is like this pretty crazy like flick up where they like hook the ball in their leg, and he can do that when he's standing because he has trickster plus, I think it was. So there's some fun little things sprinkled in for people who like skill moves, and I guess it's good, right, if we don't have a sort of meta OP skill. Although the heel to ball roll still felt pretty good, right, Tom? Which is one of the ones that people use a lot. So I expected that to be slowed down because they generally do that, don't they, after a year of a skill being too strong.
Yeah, that felt the same. I was going to say as well, with step overs, I noticed a slight difference. They were a bit slower, the step overs, but they still seemed like pretty decent when I used them. Like they were still a way of like moving around the pitch. So again, obviously we play an early version. I feel like that's the kind of thing that they sometimes patch, right? When it's, if it's too good again, they'll probably, but with the heel to ball roll, I felt the same thing, that people were still using it like you would now kind of thing, where it's still very good in certain areas.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. We're going to take a break now, but we'll be back to talk about the changes to lengthy and accelerate, as well as potentially game-changing new camera settings and plenty more right after this break. Hello, listeners. Allow me a little bit of a ramble here because we're heading towards what is FIFA's end game. I mean, not just the end game for FIFA 23, but FIFA entirely. So if you have any thoughts on potentially different topics we could cover over the summer, especially because it's the end of FIFA as we know it, then, you know, please do send in any questions you might have, any topics you want covering, maybe ideas for guests you would like to come on the podcast for a discussion too. Always definitely open to any suggestions listeners might have, and you can send those in via all the usual ways, footweekly@mail.com and at footweeklypodcast on Twitter. At footweeklyben is my Twitter, and you can do the little Q&A thing on Spotify, comment on YouTube, really any way that's easiest for you to get in touch with any topics, any guests, anything along those lines, and look forward to seeing those. And if you would like more Foot Weekly content, including past Foot Weekly content, we've got some specials from previous summers, which are still very much relevant. That connection episode went down really well. People have improved their gameplay experience massively because of that. So do check those out, and you can go to Support Foot Weekly. Just search that in Google and it'll take you to Patreon, where you can sign up for just £3 a month. You'll be supporting the podcast, keeping it going. And if you do consider doing that, then that is greatly appreciated. And let's jump in to the rest of this podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome back after the break. We're going to talk, first of all, about responsiveness, which is something they focused on during the talk they gave us. It would have been quite hard to notice in the game, but there's a quick shot or quick release shot you can now do, which is good. And they've reduce the number of frames needed to get a shot response, essentially. So, you know, it all just feels like a positive overall.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just basing it off the they showed us an animation where someone was shooting from the edge of the box and they showed side by side, and you could see a clear difference of how quickly the player shoots. And I think that's one of the main things Ultimate Team players struggle with at any level again, that the responsiveness has been a bit of a problem. I mean, again, it comes down to internet connection as well. Like, I think there is other factors that come into it.
Mm.
But from what we saw, I forgot who the player was, but they were shooting a lot quicker on request. It was like they were just like jogging to the edge of the box and shooting, and you could just see, it was just a normal circle shot, and you could notice a difference from the animation they showed us. So I think that's always, I've struggled with that quite a lot, where you just feel like, oh, I wish the player just shot a little bit earlier. And especially when I play 2v2, I know it's even worse there. So yeah, again, that's the kind of thing we have to test in the online environment when you're playing at home or you're playing somewhere that isn't, you know, offline like we were. But definitely a good sign that, I think it's a good sign that they've addressed it as well, because I feel like I haven't really heard much from responsiveness and stuff like that before. So the fact they're trying it, I think, is a good sign. And hopefully from the animation we saw, if it does actually come off like that, we'll be able to feel it in game, that shots can come off a little bit quicker.
I think one of the things with responsiveness, you know, as I will turn 30 during this game cycle, my reactions aren't quite what they used to be. And especially with like new skill moves, that is one of the most broken things for me visually in the game is a skill move cancel, because essentially the legs just stop functioning as human legs would function, and like you kind of glitch through the game. Did you manage to test that at all, and whether that was still a thing? And with that extra responsiveness, is that even quicker now and harder to kind of react to?
You know what? Yeah, that's actually a very good point. I didn't test the shot cancels, but you're right. If a shot animation could come off even quicker, then yeah, maybe that a shot cancel will be even faster than it already is. But from my experience, I didn't try any. Don't know if you did, Ben.
So I can't say for sure that they work or don't work, but I used them enough that I think I would have done them in the number of games I played and would have noticed if there was something particularly different about them. So I think it still works. And actually, they have introduced a shot cancel using skill moves, which is kind of interesting. So you take your shot, and then instead of holding the left and right trigger or doing a dummy or whatever, you start a skill move, and that actually cancels the shot animation, which looks really, really good. I didn't manage to get the timing right to actually do it. And, you know, it's tricky to do it when you're in a pressure situation, like up against the keeper or in the box. But it is something that I think is going to be a really nice in terms of the visuals, but also quite effective. So that's quite fun. Talking about the visuals, and also obviously affects gameplay itself as well, not just how it looks, but Hypermotion V, something they shouted about a lot, and volumetric capture. Josh, you spoke about this on the EA reveal episode you did, and since we got a chance to get hands-on with it, did you have any questions for us on that?
So one of the things they mentioned was that they had so many more, and one of the things we've seen is that there's like so many more animations now within the game, and I wondered if that felt richer. I think they said they scanned something like 180 matches or something like that, whereas the old animations came from two or three games with these suits on, and I wondered if the games felt a bit more immersive or different and you didn't kind of see the same animation over and over again, which you can do when you play. You might not have played it for long enough, but I just wonder if you got that sense that it felt different and looked different and you were finding animations you'd not seen before in every game you played.
I'd say the first person I noticed was Haaland straight away. You can really like tell, you would be able to tell like the difference between FIFA 23 Haaland and EA 24 Haaland, just because of when you're playing with him. Maybe it's because he's the cover star. I'd imagine he's got like the most time spent on, but he was definitely, obviously we only got to play Man City PSG, right? And play about one or two games. But I think you notice it with the way he's running, how they look. I'm trying to think if I saw any like new animations where I thought, oh wow, like I haven't seen that before, because maybe it's not quick enough to pick up on it yet. But yeah, I did notice a visual when we were on the game, like you could tell these players, especially Haaland, was like running differently, looking a bit different. But I wouldn't say I picked up too much on animations like across the board. I don't think there's any specifics where I thought, oh wow, that was definitely different.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think we used to a step up each cycle in terms of the visuals of players that you'd know quite well, like your Haalands, etc. But it's the players outside of that should see a real significant increase in terms of their uniqueness because of the increased amount of data they're gathering. Rather than just a couple of games, it's nearly 200 games that they're getting data from using what I think is essentially the cameras that do automatic offsides that can visualize the player's physicality, their joints, etc. And so players who aren't typically motion captured, which is a lot of players, obviously, even very good players, are now going to be more realistic in terms of their movement in the game. And I think that is something that is really exciting about the new game, and actually we wouldn't have necessarily been able to see because we're playing PSG against City most of the time. Now, one of the things that this got me thinking about is moments, because if they can add real life goals, moments, which they can, into the game frame for frame in a few days, maybe a few days is too long in their view, maybe it'll change in the future and they'll introduce something like this, but being able to jump in and take control of these very realistic moments in world football is just really exciting and kind of what I imagined moments to originally be. You know, one for us, Josh, might be to jump in and take control of an Inter defender as Rodri took that shot in the Champions League final or something like that, which would be great. I think.
Or score with Lukaku's many chances that he had, you know, one of those.
Yeah, or just move him out of the way as he blocked that shot on the line. But I think that's obviously less likely, but it's a fun concept, I think. It'd be interesting to see if that eventually makes into the game. Tom, in terms of the visuals, anything particularly you wanted to flag or mention here?
I think my only fear with Hive Motion is, will animations like, you know, is the game ready for all them animations would be my question that obviously we'll find out over the year. But it is really cool and actually exciting that they have that much technology and it seems like they have really stepped it up. I mean, obviously we're used to the step up, but this one felt, you know, when they said, oh, we can only capture one or two games and you can go to 180, it did feel like a big step up. And I think even if we don't see absolutely everything in this game, it seems like they are going, you know, the long route and it will keep improving like this now.
Yeah, yeah, completely. And yeah, they've got so many competitions they can cover. I think any that they're partnered with, you know, they'll be gathering the data from that. So it's a huge, huge increase in the amount of data they can gather. And that's presumably only a good thing for the game. Let's move on to something which is pretty big, or has been big last cycle, and that is Accelerate. We all know about lengthy and controlled and explosive, but now there are going to be 7 Accelerate types. So we're going to have still lengthy, controlled, and explosive, but between those, you're going to have mostly lengthy, mostly explosive, controlled lengthy, and controlled explosive. So it gives more variety, I suppose. And I think we actually talked about this, Josh, not so long ago on the podcast, about how we'd like to see it be a bit more, I guess, stepped and not such a distinct difference between, say, controlled and lengthy.
It's interesting to me, kind of picking up on the point about play styles and traits earlier, it does seem like we get to a point in the game cycle. It used to be five star was the kind of differentiator because most players had really good stats, especially when you had chemistry styles into the mix. But it seems like they're trying to add more things to make players feel different that aren't just their stats. So obviously we've got play styles now and with 7 different accelerate types, I hope that there is a difference between the two extremes, but that the kind of finding a sweet spot in the middle for a player is great. I also love that they've just lent into the euphemisms with their naming of them. That's just very funny, and I enjoyed that. I'm glad that they've tweaked it. Did they give any information on what the stat differences would need to be for each of the 7 to kind of be implemented?
Well, so they didn't at the event, but it is in the just very recently released gameplay pitch notes. So I'll run through it in the gameplay pitch note read through. But actually the extremes either end are even harder to reach, if that makes sense, for players. And apparently they're even more lengthy, if that makes sense, or even more explosive, which you might be thinking, oh, that's even more OP. But actually, I think it's kind of the other way to an extent because it will make them very slow starting if they're lengthy.
Yeah, it's very extreme. And I think this should hopefully see like a happy medium for all of us where, yeah, it's not as just twisted, like turning on one little stat. Mm. And as you say, if maybe lengthy won't be as OP then, because if they're starting that slow, it doesn't matter if you're fast 80 metres down the pitch because no one's going to run that fast with one player.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you've got all these play styles and things in the mix as well to potentially, you know, diversify the things that make players effective, I think, on top of stats themselves, of course. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it all plays out and looking forward to getting more of an opportunity to play with all of this, I guess, probably beta time, to be honest, which is not too far away. So what I was going to just bring up at the end here is one of the categories for their explanations, I guess, was look. And I have to say, it's not something that I am overly interested in. There may be some listeners out there who want to know about these things. We don't really have time to go through every point. I'm sure the information's available to people if they want to look it up. But is there anything from you, Tom, that you felt was noticeable in terms of the visuals?
Did he say that the stadium changes if it's an important game? There's like a light show and stuff before you start,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Your stadium's gonna have a
that's pretty. That's pretty cool. Like if you're playing Foot Champs or Rivals or something like that, and you know it's a big game for a ranking point. That happens. I think also seeing the pundits and stuff as well.
Mm.
I think them kind of things can make it pretty cool. You know, just for even if it doesn't apply to the hardcores that play loads and loads of games. I think just in general it is pretty cool, pretty good additions. New commentary as well, right? The two different commentary teams. Yeah.
Guy Mowbray and Sue Smith, actually, who I like a lot, but because I think they don't have as much time spent in the booth, if you like, it doesn't sound quite as natural as Derek Ray does, I think. But I was going to mention, in terms of the presentation, something you mentioned actually before we recorded, the way that there's sort of visualization on the pitch and over players and things like that, which is quite nice. So you have like it picking out on throw-ins your five most fatigued players and their stamina level, which is kind of nice. And when you're taking like a goal kick, there'll be like lines drawn to show where the shots have hit on the goal, I guess, and whether they've gone in or not, which actually does sound like it might be slightly triggering if you've been peppering the goal but not actually scored yet and you're just seeing all these opportunities you wasted. But I'm sure you can turn it off if you want to. But yeah, I think that's a fun addition. And actually, the Sapien technology does look quite noticeable, both in the frames we saw, but also in game. Players just have a bit more, I guess, muscle to them, even the slimmer players.
Oh, is that the one with Adama Traore?
Yeah. But even Vinicius Jr. looked a bit more realistic and filled out. So quite nice to see. And then visually, another thing is the dead ball overlay for free kicks and stuff. There is more visualization, which helps you be more accurate, basically. And with the Playstyle Plus and Playstyle effects, you actually get a more clear visualization of where the free kick is going to go, which is good. Another thing which is good is more changes in the settings for right stick switching. And there's quite a lot of setting changes actually to look through. But one particularly I noticed is for right stick switching, right stick sensitivity, which is a slider between 0 and 10. And if you have lower sensitivity, it means you're more likely to select a player close to you, even if the right stick isn't pointed directly at them, it said. And I think that, along with some changes to LBL1 switching, and they were that you can have classic, but you can also have a preference for goal side or a preference to closest to ball. And I think those changes could potentially allow people to essentially be more confident right stick switching, because something that I've noticed for players who are less experienced is they use LB and L1 to switch but don't feel comfortable using the right stick, and some have changed to the ball relative option, which will make it potentially more straightforward for them, but it's hard to get used to. Whereas if you put your right stick sensitivity really far down, maybe you switch to goal side on LBL1 switching, you're then going to feel probably a lot more comfortable using right stick switching, because you're not going to end up with a player who's really far away. So yeah, I thought that was a nice addition, Josh, and so I can imagine people probably try that.
Yeah, I mean, anything to do with player switching is definitely going to be welcomed. I do like the idea that you can, that there's now a sensitivity level to your right stick, like we're playing COD. Yeah. I'm gonna 360 no scope my left centre back or something. I'm glad that they're kind of working on that, because I think it's definitely a source of frustration for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing that's interesting in the settings, which I'm not sure will be in the gameplay pitch notes, just looking through quickly, but it'll probably come when they talk about the match experience, as they call it, I believe. But changes to camera settings, and specifically they've added a completely new camera, which seems actually good, which is surprising. It's called Tactical. And it's kind of like co-op time. I don't know if you saw this, but turns once you reach each end of the pitch.
Yeah, I did notice that on the trailer, yeah. I didn't actually play on it.
Yeah, so I actually ended up using it throughout the event because I was really intrigued by it, and definitely found that it was better for me than co-op, because not having such a flat goal to aim at was quite nice for picking your spots and also just reading the game, I guess. It has a bit of that telebroadcast feel to it once you get to the penalty box. But actually what I was also using is a new slider they've added, which is called Penalty Box Zoom, which allows you to zoom in on the penalty box as you get closer towards it, And it does feel pretty helpful for, you know, the intricate skills or movements around the box that you want to do. And it doesn't feel like you're a million miles away from that, which is nice. So I like that a lot. And the other setting is far side shift, which changes how much the camera shifts across the pitch, which can be a negative of co-op, right? That it doesn't go that far across, and telebroadcast takes you really far across, which can be a bit of an issue for seeing the rest of the pitch. So I think those are really good changes, and I'm looking forward to experimenting with those more for sure. What setting do you normally go for, Tom, actually?
I mean, switching between telebroadcast and co-op, but fairly zoomed out at all times, because I don't like it being too zoomed in and like switching too quickly.
Mm.
You know, when you play like a long ball or the games, I don't like that. So I normally zoom out telebroadcast, or if I'm really struggling with through balls, like when I play someone that's really good at through balls, or if they are like the meta at that moment, sometimes I play on co-op so I can see them from a long distance. Like I can see the runs people are triggering from the very start. So they're the two I use. But I think what I'm noticing with all these settings, and similar to the game, it's like stuff that is already in the game is going to become like more manual or more customizable to yourself, like with the through balls, with the left stick switching, with the right stick switching. It's like these things already exist in the game, but now it's like it seems like you can customize them a bit more, and you can be a bit more suited to yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And actually, another thing I saw in settings is that you can enable, because it's off by default, what is essentially, I don't know if you remember this, Josh, but no touch dribbling. You could shift your body around the ball without touching the ball, which is kind of nice. I don't know how much it'll get used, because it didn't feel super smooth, but you could kind of use it to just slightly shift out of the way of an incoming tackle and things like that. So it's potentially some options there for people. Certainly feels like they've tried to make a lot more things customizable, a lot more things that you can, you know, change in the settings menu, which I guess is always a good thing, really.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'd imagine people will be looking to find the best ones or the ones to use, because there's so many different things you can. I remember going into settings and my first thought was like, wow, like there's a lot going on here. Like definitely at the start of the game, I'd recommend people to like make the most of the settings and get them what you want them to be, because they're definitely more customizable.
Yeah, it feels like they've put a lot of effort into customization. And the final thing we haven't talked about, and at the event, we had the option of playing with PSG or City, or playing with Lyon and Chelsea, but the women's teams. So we didn't get an opportunity to play with both women and men. So that's why we haven't really spoken about that much on this podcast, just because we didn't get any hands-on experience of it. There wasn't really anything that was said in addition that we haven't already mentioned on the podcast about women in foot. So maybe, Tom, if you have any thoughts on women in foot and the impact that might have on gameplay, then, you know, feel free to mention, but it's hard to say without giving it a try.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, just based off women's height in general, that I would imagine a lot of people are saying they reckon the attackers and midfielders could be like very, very good. Because normally it is like agile, small forwards that can, you know, play pretty well in game. So I think a lot of people are anticipating, one, that you will be able to get a lot of women into your team. And two, I would imagine like quite a few of the forwards, I didn't actually get to play with them in the thing. So I only got to play like one or two games, but I would imagine they are being rated the same as the men, right? Like the same kind of ratings. They're based on how their performance is in the women's game. So I think they'll be used quite a lot in Ultimate Team. You know, I think after when people start playing them and realize that, I think the attackers and midfielders will probably be like the most overpowered or meta. Is that, if that's the right word for it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they'll also be potentially underhyped, which is quite good for those of us who are looking forward to using them. Actually, it'll be good because you'll be able to pick up some players who are effective, but not too expensive because of the hype factor. So yeah. Looking forward to finding some gems in the huge new pool of players added to the game. Before we finish, Josh, any particular questions, comments, anything like that before we go?
I suppose the final thing, just going back to the hypermotion stuff, obviously they can scan real games, and they mentioned in the presentation they could add it in to the game 2 or 3 days later. And I'm just wondering if they said they would do that throughout the game cycle and kind of keep it as like a changing, breathing animation library.
So they didn't mention that, but it's certainly something I guess they could do and would keep the game fresh. I sort of wonder whether they might hold that back though for a future cycle, and that's a new feature that they add, and potentially this idea around sort of Moments 2.0, which could even be outside of Ultimate Team, with of course Ultimate Team rewards to get people into it, I could see being a big pull of a new game potentially. But yeah, it's an interesting point, and it would be nice to see. On that, actually, we probably need to wrap up now, actually. As I said, gameplay pitch note read through to come for supporters. So if you're a supporter, look out for that. And if you're not, you know, maybe you fancy it, search Support Foot Weekly and you can check that out. And we should say our goodbyes. But before we do, very quickly, Tom, I'll put you on the spot. If you have to do a rating out of 10 for the small amount of gameplay experience you had, you know, what would you give it?
In the short time, do you know what? Because it's a lot more customizable and a lot more personal. Mm. And I think from what I'm playing, the game feels a bit more manual as well. I'm going to go for an 8.5 at the minute, 8.5. And I'm excited because it's the first new one without FIFA as well. So I feel like hopefully EA can, you know, do some cool things with that as well. So yeah, I'm on the excited train.
Yeah.
I think it's a fresh change. I think like everything will change well. I don't know if we mentioned it, but like even something as small as the menus is changing, right? Like the way it looks. I feel like them kind of things are going a long way for my, like, because I feel like the last two games are very copy-paste. Like 23 and 22 were very similar in the way they looked and the way they felt. So just off the basis of this, a fresh breath of fresh air, I'm going to say 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to play quite a few games, FIFA games early, and I was really quite impressed by how complete or finished this game felt compared to past games. And the balancing obviously needs to come, but for the reasons you've mentioned and for the fact that they're adding a lot of new stuff, it makes me really quite excited, but also pretty nervous, I have to say, about how it's all going to work out. So I feel like I'm 10 for hype and like overall probably like a similar 8.5 or something. But yeah, looking forward to it. But yeah, thank you very much, Tom, for joining us on this podcast. It's been great to have you. And yeah, where can people find you, actually? I know you're streaming at the moment.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. I am Tom_Lease on every social media, but yeah, mainly on Twitch and YouTube at the minute. Two places to find me. Not Tom_Lease on YouTube, just Tom_Lease.
Nice. Great. Thank you very much, Tom. And to you, Josh, as well. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, you two are excited having played the game, and I'm really excited having not played the game. I think I'm going to have to temper my expectations a little bit, but I'm just looking forward to kind of more information. I know you've got information on Ultimate Team, but I know we've got the deep dive in August, and so it's just, we've just got this big run up now, so very excited.
Yeah, definitely. And you can catch it all here on the Foot Weekly podcast. So if you're catching this somewhere where you're not subscribed, then please do. And we're heading towards that 1,000 subscriber count on YouTube, so do subscribe over there too. And if you're catching this on YouTube, leave a like, drop a comment. It is hugely helpful. And remember, you can, of course, get extra podcast content, double, in fact, over on the Patreon. Just search Support Foot Weekly. And a huge thank you to all those supporters for keeping this podcast going, including those icon patrons: Dave B, Hugh J, Coach Vass, DJ FIFA Player, Alan G, Alistair, Anthony R, Dominic P, Rob P, Jeff B, Stephen F, Tom B, Damon H, David S, Nick Jack M, Eric T, Neil P, Adam G, Dan W, Waterman, N Hagman, Harry A, Jake G, Roger D, Springford, Elec, Bracco, Nishant, Harry P, Alex M, Lee A, Brendan W, Andrew C, Joe W, Timothy J, Dylan, Jay Kell, Ibis 24, Adam R, Sam K, Graham W, Andy, Ads H2K, and Brian V. Plus a special thanks to Luke M, Dave B, Hugh J, Tom M, Darren W, and Pato Foot for advice and production assistance. Before I leave you, just one more thing to add, though. FIFA's a bit like life, really. It has its many ups and its many downs. If you're having a few more downs than ups in real life in these more difficult times, then please don't feel that you're alone or need to struggle on without taking action. If you go to thecalmzone.net, there's loads of resources, advice, support, or even just a friendly chat for anyone who needs it. If it sounds like it could help you, then head over to thecalmzone.net. And for now, have a good one, and I'll catch you on the next podcast. Sports Social Podcast Network.